Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody back to the Mark Alert. We're doing a short intro today because we've got a very special guest on the show and we just want to jump right back into it. This is the Mark Alert, the Everything Wrestling Show. This is the show we talk all wrestling, breaking news, and even have special episodes with special guests. I'm your host, as always, Ben McPhee, a.k.a. the Fake Fan Hitman, a.k.a. the Original Mark. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at FakeFanHitman3 and follow me on Instagram at FakeFanHitman. Today on our show, we have a very, very special guest. We really appreciate him taking some time to sit down with us. PWG star and Lucha Underground star Brian Cage is on the show today. Brian, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Just getting some things going or together to go hit the gym here after we're done.
Yeah, well, if anybody doesn't know you, Brian Cage loves to get his workout on. I've been watching you since, like, the Brian Cage Taylor days and stuff. And, like, you were a pretty big guy then. But can you explain to a lot of the fans out there, like, what inspired you to get as big as you are right now? And, like, what's the motivation that keeps you going and keeps your drive? Because I know there's a lot of young talent out there that, you know, does their weight regimens and does stuff like that. But they might not necessarily know, like, little – do you have, like, any tips or secrets or anything for those guys before we get into this?
Well, let's see. To run through this, he said many people have their workout regimens and stuff. I think actually the contrary, not to slam many independent workers, but I think contrary to that, many of them don't have a weight regimen and or diet and yada yada put together. But I've touched on this a few times before, but you know, I graduated high school, I was like 155 pounds. I've wanted to be wrestler since I was 10 years old. And, you know, back then wrestling with my friends, I was bigger than them because they were tiny, but I wasn't a big guy by any means. And I just realized that that wasn't going to cut the mustard. So as soon as I graduated, I just started hitting the gym and at my local high school and didn't know what I was doing, just kind of figured out as I went. And, you know, just wanted to be in shape and look like a wrestler before I went to any sort of wrestling school. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. I liked it a lot. I always wanted to do a bodybuilding show, but I was, you know, always kind of half-assed it or wasn't really committed to it, especially if I got a booking that weekend. Like, oh, I don't want to, like, miss the show. And then in 2011, a lot of people always compare me to 2011 because I was, like, terrible. It was much the smallest I've ever been, I think, since I've ever wrestled. Very, very soft, I think, too, because I had hurt my shoulder. And I was kept wrestling on it, like all wrestlers do. And so I didn't help anything. And I was out of the gym for nearly 9 months. And throughout that time, too, like, if I ever become a depressed fat girl, like in high school eating ice cream, it's when I'm hurt and I can't go to the gym. So my diet was terrible. I wasn't working out. It was just a bad deal. So I was the worst I've ever looked. And when I got back into it, my shoulder was fine, healed enough to start training. I just kind of wanted, you know, a new goal. I'm like, you know what? I'm finally going to freaking pop my cherry on this bodybuilding stuff. And I just wanted to do it for fun. And I did it, and it was awesome. It just encouraged me to get, like, the best shape I was. And I was like, you know, I want to keep on doing this. So before that, I always thought, like, I was doing anything right. And to some extent, I was. But, you know, it seems like every year I learned something new or something more or something different. And everybody's body is, you know, different as well. But it's just become a new little passion of mine that's kind of filled the hobby void since, you know, wrestling's kind of turned more into the full-time profession. And I'm going to do another show this year towards the end of the year for my pro card, actually. But I don't know where I'll go from there because I don't necessarily want to be a pro bodybuilder and, you know, compete in Olympia or whatever and get that huge. It's just kind of a feather in my cap and a fun thing to do for now. So I don't know. We'll see where I go with that. As for tips, I mean, the best tip I can give anybody, because I get stopped and asked by everybody all the time in the gym, and everybody wants to think I have some sort of, like, you know, one-word answer that's the magical secret that everybody can get jacked in a week. And it's just the best thing is just time and consistency, man, just consistent hard work. I've been at this now for freaking 11 years. Of going to the gym day in and day out and busting my ass. So it's not an overnight process by any means. And you know, you don't have to, like, I'm very meticulous. I weigh out my food every day. I eat fresh anything every single day, 7 days a week, outside of like a cheat meal or something. But I mean, I weigh out my protein powders, my pre-workouts, my amino acids, my fiber, all my food, my chicken, my steak, my eggs. I am ridiculous. Very yeah. OCD when it comes to it. So you don't have to get like that. I mean, you know, needs to be like me. But I mean, just stick to something that you can find works for you or that maybe you enjoy, and you know, and just push yourself to reach your full potential on it, and don't expect, you know, anything to change overnight. And even then, like, if somebody gets on some sort of little 90-day fad diet or fad, you know, workout thing or P90 this or whatever the hell, it may work and get you some results, but it's really a lifestyle change. You can't do something, you know, just for a few months and then, oh, cool, I'm straight now for the rest of my life. Like, no, I mean, once you kind of start it, you got to keep doing it and keep up with it. Or of course, your body's going to go backwards. But yeah. Anyhow.
How long do you think you were doing it before you actually, like, noticed the big, huge change, or you actually, like, looked in the mirror and said, holy shit, this is actually working?
You know what? Actually, it was when I was working at this Halloween shop, and I got hired on at my local theater, and I said I was, like, around, like, 155, like, in high school, and when I got hired in theater, I got hired with a bunch of, like, you know, kids around my age, people were, like, you know, like, around 18, 19, whatever it was, and there's quite a few attractive girls, and they were talking about, like, how I look kind of, like, buff, or, like, yeah, I'm like, oh, shoot, so I kind of stroked my ego, and, you know, I checked myself in the mirror, and got on the scale, and I was, like, in the 170s, like, mid-170s, and I was, like, oh, I'm still not big at all, but to me, you know, that's 20 pounds of gain, I'm, like, heck yeah, so that was probably the first, like, noticeable, like, this is paying off.
Very cool, very cool. One thing I do want to get into real quick, or jump back forward a little bit, is I am a big, huge fan, you know, like, rest in peace, but of the wrestler Chris Kanyon, also known as Mortis to some people out there. And I know reading a lot through lore, history, and stuff like that, it kind of goes into how you became, like, not necessarily a fan, but, like, where you went from a fan to being into the wrestling career. And into, like, you know, the Main Event Wrestling Federation, the MWF. A lot of people don't, you know about stuff like that. Can you elaborate more as far as, you know, your career and your relationship with Kanyon and how the whole thing kind of got you started at, you know, becoming a professional wrestler?
Well, yeah, I met Kanyon at a Raw on the Austin Appreciation Night. I was sent out there for him. He happened to notice it, and I was, you know, freaking out, so I wanted him to notice it. I was always a big fan of Kanyon. I thought he was very underutilized, and even then, like, throughout junior high school, in the backyard wrestling days, if you will, I would always do all of his moves. I thought he was awesome because he had all his moves. Hence,
and he had a very innovative offense, too.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. That's why, you know, instead of being the innovative offense, I'm, you know, old name was Multi-Move Paragon, and I get my shit in. So, and I love being him on Revenge and or Brother. You know, it was Revenge, not World Tour.
Revenge.
His character was amazing. But So he saw the sign. I was marking out about it. As we're walking up the stairs, he'd come back out. By, like, the Titantron entrance, I see him, so I run back downstairs. We had, like, four seats, and he gave me the Who Better Than Austin shirt, which I still have to this day, and I was flipping out, and I waited for him out by the cars, and no-sold everybody else, everybody who came out, and he saw me, and he came over, and he saw my sign, signed my shirt, and I posted it all on his message board, and his webmaster forwarded to him, who then emailed me and was like, hey, you know, I thought this would be awesome. I'm never going to forget this night. You know, this cool shirt to have to remember it. He's like, oh, you know what though? He goes, I mean, that kid would make that kid's night that much more. So he gave it to me, and I thought it was awesome, man. I was, I was 16 or 17. I was junior year, of high school. But, that was like I said earlier, I wanted to be a wrestler since I was 10. And that just, like, further, you know, ignited the flame, like, not only did I want to be there and do this, but I want to be the one to be giving away the shirt to a fan, to make his night that memorable, because that was, you know, still probably in the top five, you know, biggest moments of my life. I remember just how ecstatic I was. It was unbelievable.
That's way cool.
Did you want me to touch on MWF too?
You can go ahead and touch on that, because I think that's, you know, a lot of people are curious about it. You know, some people have been asking me about it, and I was like, well, I'm going to have somebody on the show that might be able to elaborate more. So, yeah, go ahead and touch on that.
I feel like a lot of pros, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I know quite a few do, have all, like, backyard wrestled. And I think that stems from there not being any outlet, you know what I mean, for pro wrestling, really. I mean, it's like if you're watching football and you're a big fan of football, as I was too, and you want to play football with your friends, you go out, you get a football, you go out in the field with a bunch of people, you play essentially backyard football. So that's the kind of where wrestling comes from, though it's a little more strange and, you know, it can be dangerous. But that's where it first started from. And I lived at these townhouses called Manzanita Apartments. And we started there. This was like from like high school or even before then. We'd always back and wrestle all the time, and we'd go out there. It started out as more of like just being a big rumble, and then it progressed to like actually trying to have a one-on-one matches, and then like entrances and everything else. And so that's where MWF came from, was Manzanita Wrestling Federation. And then we just, you know, down the road, when we actually, people started getting trained, and everything happened, and then we got a ring, and yada, yada, yada. I wanted to keep the same initials, because it was all my brainchild, and I was like, well, let's just change it. And I was like, maybe let's make it like Main Event Wrestling Federation. Like, oh, I was like, yeah, that's not a bad idea. So that's what we stuck it with. And even then, like, there's still like half of us that were probably trained, half of us that weren't. Maybe I'm stretching that as well. But you know what? It was probably one of the funnest times I ever had in wrestling, even though that was still technically, you know, semi-yardish, and it was just me writing the shows. It was so much fun. We had such a good brotherhood and camaraderie with everyone, and it felt like, if you've seen the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD, it felt totally like that. Like that documentary totally, you know, fit us perfectly. So how we ran things, did things, and it was just awesome. And eventually, you know, it just ran its course. We started running freaking 2-3 shows a month, all in this little town of Chico. That was like, you know, at best 100,000 people. And I just kind of think it got oversaturated. It got to a point where it was so high where, like, we couldn't go backwards. That's kind of where it was going after a couple of our main venues got shut down. So, and a lot of people started getting burned out on it. Other people involved in it was all kind of falling on me when I was finally the only one really going out and doing my own thing and wrestling other indie feds and, you know, trying to build my own brand. So, as all good things do, it came to an end. But it was definitely, as I said, one of probably the top favorite times, like, in all of wrestling.
Very nice. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you also once in a while portray the character Mortis in that federation?
No, actually not in that federation. I did get to work Canyon twice in that federation. I remember, too, I was talking about, you know, wrestling. Because, actually, we went from, you know, wrestling on the grass. It was back there. We went from wrestling on the grass to actually wrestling on a trampoline-made ring where we actually took plywood, thick plywood, and we drilled holes in it. And Deluxe zip-tied them all together and laid them across the trampoline and tied them onto the trampoline. So it would be stiff and make an awesome sound when you land on it, but it would get it from the trampoline. So it was And then we felt less stupid about whipping people off, because, you know, when you're on the grass, you whip somebody, Irish whip somebody, it looks retarded. But, like, now it looks like we're trying to send them off the trampoline. They're like, whoa, and they stop, turn around, and run back at you, and whatever. But, and I remember watching some of those matches with Canyon. I was like, yo, I would love to wrestle you. And he's like, yeah, well, you guys need to get fully trained to get in a ring, and then maybe I'd wrestle you. And we actually had, when we got the ring, we still wrestled outside for a little bit, actually, and we were still getting more training stuff, but we were running free shows out in this, my friend's backyard that was out near our college, because it was a busy street and had tons of foot traffic. So we did that for a while to build, just buzz about it, and then we started transitioning to shows so people knew who we were already, and because we got pretty good following going on, and people would come pay for tickets and yada, yada. And then when I told Canyon we had the ring, he's like, well, I'm going to wrestle in the backyard. And I was like, oh, we got a short wrestling venue. He's like, shit, man, this kid might get me now. And one day at work, he called me, and I answered it. And he's like, hey, you guys running a show, you know, this weekend? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, well, dang. He's like, I'm going to come out, you know, to wrestle in Oakland, I think it was, or whatever, for whatever place. The day after, I was going to say, I could come in a day early, and I could come work your guys' show, and I could wrestle you. And I was like, well, well, we're running the show now for sure. So we switched dates around, and that's how it happened the first time. And, yeah, I know I got to wrestle twice, but it was later on after I moved to Atlanta and was going to Deep South uncontracted for about 7 months, I think it was. And when I left there, Kenny had officially retired, and he asked me if I would, you know, want to be Mortis and give me the Mortis gear so I could continue, you know, his name and legacy without him having to do it. And I was, you know, super honored. And I only did a few matches as Mortis, but no, it was rad. He saw one of them and, you know, put it over. And he, I remember all caps on his text said, absolutely phenomenal job as Mortis. Please keep doing it. And I hadn't kept doing it until I myself got signed to WWE. And while I was in developmental, he kind of made a few match comeback and asked if I could send him the Mortis gear back because it was actually back home in California. So I had him send it back over. And actually, I talked to him, I think it was like the end of 2009, beginning 2010, about doing a six-man tag with me, him, and Raven, and me as Mortis, first three other guys up in New York. And then I talked to him like one other time, and it happened to be like, I think exactly a week later before he died. So obviously it never happened. It came to fruition, yeah. And it was a big-time bummer, man. That was also the first, since we're talking about that, the first person ever in my life that's significant that has ever passed. So it was a tough deal, but, you know, it is what it is. And I tried to get the Mortis costume back from his family, I mean, at least just for one show, and to pay tribute, and they wouldn't let me have it. I was so upset about it. And, like, we don't want anybody making, you know, money off him or after he's passed. I'm like, well, I mean, it's not even about making money. I do the damn show for free. I just want to do it one time as a tribute. I know me and Luke Cox both were talking about it because we're both good friends with each other and Canyon. But
it was cool, man. I'm glad I got to do it. And, it was definitely unique and fun. And yeah.
Thanks for touching on that. Because like I said, I was always a big fan of his, and I was really curious. And I remember always like reading about Brian Cage with him and like the name and stuff. And I wasn't, you know, too familiar to your work until, you know, about like 2006-ish, and I'm pretty sure, like, you made your debut, like, 2004, I think it said, so.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to tackle with the last 10 minutes and stuff, because a lot of people that don't know, you are making your Lucha Underground debut under the moniker of just Cage. The taping,
yep,
I think, has already happened, but, they haven't aired it on TV, so obviously we're not going to, you know, do spoiler or anything. But can you go ahead and talk what made you want to go to Lucha Underground? Because it's a really big... I think it's working out really well. I see some of the names that you work with in other companies like PWG over there. But you kind of stand out in that own, like, you're a big guy. They have some big guys over there. And people that don't know your moveset, you are a high flyer. You got some, you know, you remind me of, like, Chris Jericho sometimes. Like, you do pull some stuff. But especially for a guy your size, like, I consider you having, like, what I consider a risky moveset. But like you said, you always want to get your shit in and get all your spots out there. One of my favorite matches of yours is actually a recent one. I think it was at Soldier Soul for Rock and Roll against Roderick Strong. It was like the opening match or whatever. And you were you didn't win that match, which I honestly thought would have made it better. But you were throwing some stuff like the 818 or the 619, you know, your moonsault. You were like literally did get your shit in that match with him so fast. Like, I mean, if people didn't, I had my friends calling me during then going, have you ever seen Brian Cage? And I'm like, you're just now discovering him. Can you describe what kind of moveset and stuff you're going to bring into the Lucha Underground world and what, like, kind of got you wanting to go over there and, you know, bring your talent over somewhere else?
Well, okay. So a lot to touch on there. First of all, thank you for that. No, I agree. That was one of my favorite matches I've had there is with Roderick Strong.
That match
the last couple I just had, too, with the UHA and that four-way, UHA, Biff, and Tommaso. We're also real good, but you know, I've talked to Conan for a long time I had a tryout, the AAA tryout they had back in LA years ago, and did phenomenal, and nothing ever really happened from that. And because we got tied up with the MTV2 Little American Lucha, whatever the hell she was called.
I don't know, whatever, it's
just some shitty show. And long story short, whatever, it took years to have happen, and he always stayed in contact with me, and I was really cool with Norman Smiley from SCW, and obviously Norman and Conan go way back in Mexico, and so they were cool. And finally, when it was, you know, getting close to have happen, Conan was telling me, like, all right, hey, yeah, it's, you know, finally going to happen, and it was Lucha Underground's what it came turned out to be. And they actually were there at that show that I worked Roderick Strong. They were trying to scout other PWG talent. But, you know, I just had my match. Did I just have my match? I don't know, whatever. Right around the same time, I'd have a match. I'm back on TNA. And I asked them, the Destination X one, you know, why they brought me in. Because I was like, low-key, was already signed. And Homicide was down the street. Literally. I was like, so why did you bring me from California all the way to New York just for this, like, one-off match? You guys could have got, you know, many people that have already been on TV before or whatever. And what I was told was that it was their way of kind of saying sorry and giving me another shot, because most of management felt I should have been the one that won gut check when I was on the gut check with Jay Bradley back at the beginning of the following year. Anyhow, so I was waiting on them, and then they kept talking to me, and then they were dragging their feet. And then their contract got pulled from Spike, so but we still find out people. I don't know what was going on. I was just sick and tired of waiting for them, and I know that Lucha really wanted me there, and he wanted to push me and use me, and you know, I was going back and forth on it. It was on the fence, but I actually signed. I didn't really sign my contract until, like, I think 4 days before I came down there, but was supposed to, you know, do my first taping. But we know that what you're going to see in Lucha is, like, pretty much going to be very similar to what you see in PWG. Maybe not as often, because I'll, you know, I'm going to be on there every week. You got to space out a little bit to leave, you know, leave something left to be seen, leave you wanting more. But no, I mean, that's why I got, you know, brought on there. And that's what they're trying to do, is have real wrestling, modern-day professional wrestling, not sports entertainment, not bullshit, not all that jazz. So, I mean, that's why they wanted PWG guys, too, because they want that, you know, fast pace, in-your-face, high-flying, you know, big moves, big spots, you know, wrestling. So, you know, to tell stuff, and mixing in that Lucha with there as well. But, I mean, no, it should be fun. I'm very happy with the matches I've already had done. And, I finally make my debut next Wednesday. And we go back down next weekend to start taping some more, so...
Oh, very, very nice. I can't wait to see. I'm very, very excited. Once I saw your little vignette that you were going over there, that kind of snuck under my radar. I didn't even notice that. And I was like, oh, crap, he's coming over to Lucha. I was like, that's got to be very, very interesting. I'm really excited to see that.
And, yeah, I like, you said it was just Nick Cage. I like that one. I have to keep my name, at least just Cage. Because he wanted me to say the same, but the network didn't. And after going back and forth, he said I could be Cage if I was only Cage. And if I change my look, too, so I have different gear as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, that's fine, I mean, whatever. As far as then, you know, making up a new name and being freaking Brad Reynolds or something, I don't know, whatever. But
yeah, well, I was going to say, at least you still sound scary. You know, Cage still sounds like a scary name. They did a very good job with your vignette, making you look, you know, scary as much as you can, especially with how big you are, you know what I'm saying, tossing tires and stuff around, so.
Oh, and they still call me a machine, too. They want it to be effing machine. They were not going to say effing, they just wanted to be fucking machine. But the network obviously pulled that, because you were going to censor it and just say it, but whatever. I'm effing machine Brian Cage, I'm the machine Cage. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
But that worked for me.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. You know, you're very easy to interview. Had a lot to say. You know, I didn't even have to do much on my end. Is there like any sponsors, friends, family, anybody you want to give a shout out to and thanks to before I let you go?
You know, since we talked about him, big thanks to Canyon. I don't know if he's not here, but I mean, he really helped me a lot, really pushed me, really got me the right connections. I owe a lot to him. My loving wife, who I married this past June, has been a big time supporter, and I've been with her for about 6.5 years now. Sponsor wise, you talked about this earlier, actually. I should have dropped this earlier. For supplements, shout out to Max Muscle. They've helped me out a lot too with my competitions and with sups, and which goes hand in hand with wrestling. And they have awesome products too. I'm not even just dropping it. I mean, I don't promote stuff. You might get some for free, and I'm supposed to promote it, but I mean, I only promote stuff and really locally won't promote stuff if I think it's worth a damn and works. Yeah. And all their products, especially their protein, is phenomenal. But other than that, I appreciate all the fans and support from everybody and everybody backing me and just finding out and excited to see my Lucha Underground. I hope I deliver, and it only keeps going up from there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your debut. And the match you actually mentioned earlier, make sure everyone goes out and gets that DVD, Black Hole Sun from PWG, so you can see that match with Thumb Champ and Uha Nation. Because I'm very excited because I've been a big fan of yours for a while and Uha Nation, and it's very nice to see you guys of your caliber work together because you guys have a lot of, the same styles and, those big guys with a lot of agility, which is like that kind of new thing that people love seeing. I mean, we always like seeing the little guys jump around, but to see the big guys do it. One thing I do want to touch real quick, because me and you, I actually had a conversation with you on Instagram. I don't know if you remember, but you, the first match you had against Uha Nation, you missed that moonsault, and it almost looked like you freaking broke your neck. Like,
yeah,
were you okay
was,
after that?
That was savage. That was actually my second weekend at Lucha Underground after that patch.
Okay.
But no, I didn't know what happened at first. I was like, what the hell? And then I heard everybody kind of gasp or kind of get quiet a little bit. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I just fell on my head. Did I fall on my head? I was like, I was all discombobulated. And it felt like somebody like enziguri or kicked the hell out of my head, some butterfly kick like really bad. But
yeah.
I was like, I'm fine. I told them. I wasn't even sure. We got up, we started trading. And I stopped him. I remember I turned around and somebody's all, holy shit, Ian with a broken fucking neck. And I was like, you damn right, it was a fucking machine every pop. But I wasn't even sure. I go up like running to hit the ropes. I'm like, am I fine? Like, I guess so. But the next couple of days, or maybe a few days, yeah, my neck was crazy sore, crazy stiff. And actually, funny, I had stopped doing shrugs for my traps. I felt my traps were a little overpowering. It's like bodybuilding-wise, you want to try to be symmetrical. So I don't need to do those anymore. But I do feel kind of because of my traps, it kind of saved my neck a little bit. So the very next day in the gym, right back to shrugs. And I'm not gonna drop those since it kind of saved my life a little bit. I definitely lucked out. The ropes
I think
were
it
loose.
Looked worse than it was. But, like, I swear Rick Knox sold it the worst. Like, he literally yelled, like, holy shit. I don't know if you watched it on the actual DVD. But he literally, like, acted like you died. And, like, I think he got the crowd more into it than you were actually hurt.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was – it definitely looked a lot worse than it was because I was okay. But, I mean, it was a very scary moment because, a little bit more one way, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a broken neck. It could
yeah.
have been, end of my career. It could have been a freaking death. I mean, who knows? But – don't want to dwell on that too much, but I mean, shit like that happens, and it has made me a little sketchy to do a line salt since then, and that's the first one I've ever missed, ever in my life. I've never missed a line salt, but I guess, as my friend said, you only need to lose that Russian roulette once, so, not saying I want to do it again, but I've been a little more reserved and just have done different things instead of it, for the time being. That's why
I'm glad
everybody else,
you're okay.
I'm sorry
to cut you off. I'm getting ran out here like with the last 15 seconds, but I am glad to hear you're okay.
No,
I really appreciate you coming on today.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. thanks for coming on, man. Be sure to follow Brian Cage on Instagram at Brian Cage and follow me on Twitter at MRGMSI_B Cage.
Mr. GMSI, Brian Cage. There it is.
All right. Have a good one, man.
All right. Thanks. Bye.